Yes, it's coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Hey, guys, 25 Henry, return your previous frequency, please.
It's the coffee break time with myself, Leah, and with Yusuf. So welcome to the coffee break with us. And the rain has just started to come down so magnificently here in the Cape. And we are just really, really enjoying it. But we're really excited to be with you again on the coffee break this evening, or whatever time of the day it is, wherever you are. Welcome to the coffee break. It's going to be such a great time as we fellowship and have a great conversation around Abba Father's word and all the beautiful things that are in the word and the things that he's sharing, the things that he's saying for this time, for this season, for our hearts, for maybe something that we need to hear tonight. And that truly is always my prayer for the coffee break, of course, that, you know what, whatever the need is tonight, that Abba Father himself will just meet that need within our hearts. We want to be strengthened. We want to be empowered by his word. We want to be, you know, empowered by his spirit. So welcome to every single one of you. I hope that you are settling down, that you have, you know, a nice restful place there, because we're going to have such a great coffee break. Yusuf, welcome to you this evening. Almost wanted to say it's great to see you, but I just saw you a few minutes ago, but it's still great to see you. And I hope that you are doing well. You know, how has your week been? I know that you've been pretty busy. You know, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. You know, Leah, it's hard to believe that today is the 31st of January, 2021 already, that we have already had the entire January come and go of this year. You know, it's crazy, and so much has happened, and so much I believe is still going to happen. So yes, I'm excited again to be on the coffee break. It's always good to be with everyone. And this evening, I pray that, as Aaliyah said, that it will be a time of fellowship, but also a time of impartation, a time where we'll be able to allow the Father just to minister to us. And you're right, Aaliyah, this week was crazy for me. I was busy redoing the website, or not redoing the front end, the back end, and fixing the server and updating all the libraries that we have and things like that. So I was busy with that. But it's been a good week. It's been a good week, and I'm looking forward to this evening. I'm also looking forward to what's coming in the days to come. I think that it's now the time where Yahweh is really, really speaking to us. So I know, Aaliyah, that you got, you know, there's some stuff I want us just to share this evening before we start the coffee break. I know, Aaliyah, that you've had some opportunities recently with, you know, the radio broadcast, but Yahweh has been so gracious in opening new doors and new opportunities. Don't you want to just share with us this evening with regards to that?
Oh, well, thanks for that. Sorry, I'm just trying to tell you something about my headset, and this becomes awkward when I'm busy talking. So, yes, this week, you know, Yusuf, I know you said this week was great, but I felt like when it was Thursday, I was thinking it was still Tuesday, and I was thinking, well, I've still got 3 days of this week to do a lot more things on top of the lot more things that I was doing. And then suddenly I realized it was actually Shabbat. and it was crazy because the week went so, so quickly. But I feel like January went really, really slow. It was the longest year I've ever been in, the longest year of January ever. But the week went really quickly. And then it was like, okay, no, now it's over. And I'm excited because I know your birthday next week. And I always get excited about you celebrating your birthday. Another year to celebrate you, another year to be with you. And it's such a blessing. But, you know, yeah, just wonderful things as for it's. Can you see how I struggle to talk about myself? It's so weird. I obviously, as many people know, I have the radio show that I do on our national radio station, and it's very much a journalistic show, nothing like what we do with Treasured Inheritance Ministry, but just so beautiful, just, you know, really speaking about really hard topics and bringing things to the light, specifically in faith communities, and just bringing so much out that people need to think about and hear about. And it was incredible to me because my show was just chosen and received a scholarship nomination for an international awards called the Gracie Awards, which is a huge awards in the States, and a South African radio show has never, in its 47 years of the Gracies been around, the radio show from South Africa has never actually been entered. So mine was chosen, and the scholarship entry means that it's a very expensive award to enter, and obviously a lot of celebrities enter, and your news anchors from like big Fox News and NBC and all those kind of places, they enter. But the awards, the Gracie Awards, chose my show specifically to be entered in, and they actually had a sponsor for the show to enter. That's how expensive it actually is. So it's been so incredible. Obviously, the winners will only come out in April. So it's been such a blessing, because serving at the radio station is just that. It's serving, and it's, you know, giving of yourself voluntarily. So it has just been such a blessing to interact with people over the last 18 months. Hear their stories, but also just share, you know, about what is happening on the ground with different issues, and it's super, super important. So I'm excited about that. You know, just to receive the scholarship nomination is really, really cool. And then, yes, and then I was offered a study position, a postgraduate study position at the University of South Africa, and based on the portfolio of work that I've already done. And so I can go straight into a postgraduate study field where I don't even have an undergraduate for ancient Near Eastern studies, which is a field of study that obviously I'm passionate about, because it's the ancient world where you're studying the ancient Israelites, the Hittites, the all of the Ites, you know, all of the Egyptians and the Nubians that I study consistently when I'm on my own, as you see me doing, Yosef. So now to actually be offered this, you know, come on board, we are opening up this position to you. That the professor at the faculty actually wrote a detailed letter telling them that they needed to accept me. And that was the final thing he did before he handed in his final resignation. So he's gone. And yeah, we opened that door just before he left, and I've never met this human being in real life. So it's so incredible how the Father just orchestrates everything. Obviously, there's a lot that has to fall into place for that, you know, over the next month. If Yahweh provides what is needed, because it's very expensive, then I know that it's from him as well. You know, right now, it's that process of waiting, which is probably very much going to speak into what we're going to be talking about in Exodus this evening. So yes, very, very exciting, and just lots of beautiful things that Yahweh does, just blessings and just gifts that he gives us along the way. So all praise to him, and I thank him for that. And I'm very excited to see what happens in the next few months that come. And so Yosef, do you want to tell us about the word tonight? So you want to get into the word?
Before I get into the word, Ilya, I think it's important that people understand why the studies is important at this time. You see, if Ilya gets to do these studies, it's very important for not only the ministry, but also for the work and the books and the things that she researches. So it will help intensively with regards to the things that she does with regard to, you know, the research part. So it's a very, very blessed thing, or a very honorable thing, if I have to put it that way, a great thing that has opened up. But anyway, let's get into the word this evening. And you know, like we always say, this is the coffee break. It's not a time just for, you know, another teaching. It's a time where we really want to interact with you. We want to have fellowship with you. But we also just want to share something from our hearts with you every week. And you know, this week, I was sitting and I was reading the Torah portion, and there was so much. There's so much this week in the Torah portion. And I really get excited when we get to the book of Exodus, because I think in the book of Exodus, there's always so much meat. There's so much stories being told that are relevant to our lives that we live now. And not only that, if we understand, you know, the depth of the Exodus and the depth of what's going on, we really get a deeper, more rich understanding of the final days and the things that are going to play out in the book of Revelation. There's so much that goes on, you know, from the time that Israel is delivered from, you know, the Egyptians, and they are delivered from Egypt and they're taken out. We spoke about that last week, how that deliverance is relevant and how it is important for us to understand the shadow and apply that shadow to our lives. But, you know, I was sitting, Aaliyah, and I was thinking about the story, and I was thinking about, you know, so many people that we met over the years. And this evening, I want to just highlight something and bring to mind something, and hopefully this will cause you that's listening to think about, you know, your own life. Where am I at in this whole walk, in this journey, as I'm walking, you know, closer to the return of Yeshua? And that's what it's about. It's about this understanding that Yeshua is coming back, and he's coming back for his bride. Mm. But at the same time, I want to ask you tonight, if somebody had to come to you today and you were walking down the road and somebody just randomly walked up to you and said to you, you know, I see that you must be a believer. There's this light shining out of you. I'm just saying, using this as an example. And they just randomly, or at your work, because they know that you're a believer, and they ask you this question and say to you, so you say that you saved. And you answer them back and you say, yes, I'm a, you know, I don't know, some people would say I'm a born again believer. Others would say, you know, I'm a believer in the Messiah. It depends on how you answer the question. And the question then is thrown back at you from this person. And they say to you, okay, so explain to me, what exactly are you saved from? What exactly are you saved from? Because I don't really understand. And I'd like you to think about that for a second. What exactly are you saved from? What exactly have you been delivered from, is a better way to put it. What exactly have you been delivered from? And has that deliverance in your life caused you to pause and kind of understand that Yeshua is your deliverer, but also come to understand that your deliverance has taken place, and now that your deliverance has taken place and you have been redeemed, how then has your life changed? How then has your life transformed? How are you moving forward with that time period in your life where you were redeemed, where you were saved, where you were set free? And what were you set free from? And the reason why I'm saying this is because so many people get so fixated in their walk with Messiah Yeshua that everything hinges on one part, and I've said this before, one part of their walk with him. And that one part is their salvation experience. And Yeshua, and all that Yeshua is only, or becomes only, their salvation or their savior. But they never get to the point in their lives where he becomes their redeemer and their deliverer and the one who provides, the one who gives, the one who, you know, the El Shaddai, the protector of their lives. And they get so stuck at one point, and it kind of never moves forward. Mm. So they're always living in that place of, I need to be saved, or I need to be helped out. And this evening, I know that many of you that are listening to this coffee break right now, or maybe you're going to be listening to the coffee break later, you have had a real experience with the Father. You have had this intense experience with him, and your life has changed. But the question I want to ask you is, what fruits are there now in your life? What fruits do other people see when they see you? And do you have another understanding or a deeper understanding of who Yeshua is? And I want to read you a scripture that's found in Romans. And, you know, I've read this scripture often to you, and it's found in Romans chapter 12. And it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to him, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. And I have this question that I really, you know, when I was reading the Torah portion, and I came to see how Yahweh delivers Israel and he takes them out of Egypt. And now they're on their way to the Red Sea. They're on their way to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh is behind. Pharaoh is getting angry, and he's decided, well, you know what? I'm going to get all my army and I'm going to pursue Israel. I mean, I'm going to annihilate them. I've had enough. Even though I said it's okay, they can go, it's not okay, because, you know, we need these people and we want these people back. And it wasn't just a fact of we needed them. It was a matter of He felt done in, you know, and not only that, he is a type and foreshadow of the anti-Messiah. He's not just going to let them go. He's not going to just say everything's okay. So getting back to what I was saying, the question is this. When you look at this passage of scripture that says, present yourselves as a living sacrifice to Yahweh, that you may test and prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of Elohim. Tonight, I want to ask you this question. Have you come to realize in your life what is the good will that Yahweh has for you? Have you come to live in that place of the goodwill? Have you experienced the goodness of Yeshua in your life? And many of you will answer me and say, yes, I have experienced the goodness of Yeshua in my life. Now the next question is, have you begun or are you living in the acceptable will of Yahweh? And the reason why I'm asking this is because, brothers and sisters, there's a time coming in this world where that Pharaoh is going to be pursuing the children of Yahweh in this final generation. He's going to be coming after the people of Yahweh. And we need to know now more than ever, what is the good, the pleasing, and perfect will of Elohim? If we don't know, Eliyah, now, what those things are, then when these days get tougher, which they are going to get, we are going to fall short of knowing in which direction we need to go. If we're living only in the one place of the revelation of who Yeshua is and not moving forward in our lives with a deeper understanding and a clearer perspective and more of who Yeshua is for us at this present time, not what happened years ago, but now, we're going to be struggling. And you know, for some people, we still have this tug of war that goes on inside of us. You know, they left Egypt, but there was still this ingrained slavery DNA that was still found within them. No matter how hard many of them tried, they still found themselves going backwards instead of going forwards. Some of them actually just stayed at that place where I believe many of them were set free. They were set free by what happened. They were free and they were wandering around in the wilderness, but yet their minds and their hearts were not free. And there's a lot of people today, Eliyah, who confess Yeshua with their mouths. They say, you know what, I love Yeshua, he set me free, but there's still this problem that they have where there's this like double standard that makes them seem as if kind of like, you know, Egypt is still better. And if we're still at that place where we're thinking Egypt is better for us, we're in a dangerous place.
You know what I think is so important as well is something that you touched on. The truth of the matter is, I actually was having a conversation about a week ago with someone who was saying that, you know, they were really, really praying for someone else to come to salvation in Yeshua, and that person has come to salvation. But what do I do with this person now? Mm. You know, and that is the thing about the focus that has always been the focus of, I'm going to say, Christianity as well as the church, is that it's really been about salvation, the first covenant, just getting people saved. In other words, just getting people out of Egypt, just getting them away from, you know, their sin. They would say, well, I'm saved from my sin. You know, that is what Yeshua saved me from. But we know that there's more. And so when we just focus on, you know, I am saved and I have salvation, we begin to live in that testimony of salvation. And maybe that testimony of salvation happened like long ago, but we remain in that point instead of knowing, okay, what is Yahweh saying to my life today? What is his vision and his mission for my walk now? And I think that that is really something that we need to lean into. He saved me maybe, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever it was. He saved me so that I could begin this journey of growing. And so what is his mission, mandate, understanding, will, desire for my life now? Am I still living in the revelation of my salvation days when I first got saved? The fire of those days, the prayers I prayed then, the things I did for other people then because I had that fire. What am I doing today? What am I living in today? And what am I doing? What is the acceptable and perfect will of my life right now? And, you know, later on after the song, I'm going to touch on some things in Exodus that really tell us how quickly the Israelites had to grow up, how Yahweh was fast tracking them and needed them to grow. And it speaks to us. I'm going to read those scriptures later on. It is so, so important what you're talking about, is saying that I've entered into this relationship with Messiah Yeshua through the covenant of salvation. He remains my savior. He will always be my savior, my redeemer, my deliverer. But what is he to me today? You know, in this season, do I need him to be the one who is, you know, keeping me from illness, Do I need him to be the provider? Do I need him to be the conqueror? Do I need him to be the reconciler between me and someone else? What is it that he's wanting to do in my life today? And when he does it, he will reveal himself supernaturally in a different way in order to grow me spiritually. And that's the purpose of it all.
Amen. You know, Leah, you said something very interesting. You said he will reveal himself. And that's something I want to just touch on. You see, Israel had to experience Yahweh and his goodness throughout their walk as they left Egypt. The reason for that is just the same as you and I. If we are not having new experiences with the Father, new intimate experiences with the Father and with Yeshua, we're going to have a problem with our identity. You see, the reason why Yeshua reveals himself to us at different stages of our walk or in different times in our walk is because he's refining not only our character, but he's also refining who we are in him. And as our character is changed and as we get a deeper understanding of his love and his purpose for our lives, we begin to become more and more like him. You see, the problem with Israel in the wilderness that they always had was that slave mentality. They were struggling with their identity. Their identity was still bound up in Egypt, and they had to learn to let go of that place that they were in. Until they really, truly, fully let go of it, they were going to always struggle in being the people or the kingdom of priests that Yahweh wanted them to be. They were always going to struggle to be the light to the nations. They were always going to turn back to idolatry because it was, like I said, found in their DNA. You see, the reason why people go backwards is because they have a lack of an intimate relationship or an identity crisis. And that identity crisis, if you are still living in the first covenant, you are in the outer court of Yahweh's tabernacle, the place only of, you know, where the brazen laver is and where the altar is, but you are not in the place where his presence fully dwells. So the journey of the bride, Aaliyah, is to come out of Egypt, to come out of slavery, but not to remain in that place of the outer court, to move through the sections of that tabernacle. Because you see, the problem that I have with people that are always so stuck at just that one place, we should always, let me say this, we should always remember our salvation. We should always be grateful, and we should always give thanks for that. But our salvation experiences open a door for us to become the true children of our King, the people of his inheritance. And only when we have an identity change does that actually happen. You know, Peter was a person who believed that this was the Messiah, but he had a problem with his own identity until Yeshua said to him, "Who do you say I am?" And he had the right answer back. Then he understood the fullness of who Yeshua was, and then he could become Peter the rock, or Peter the person who was going to be that strong person. And it's important for us to understand something. I just want to say this. No other form of sacrifice except the sacrifice of Messiah Yeshua redeems, right? That we know. But under the covering of Yeshua's blood, we are given this opportunity now through his blood to enter into the holy place, to go to the place of his presence. And it's in that place where the bridal chamber is. It's that place that the bride is brought into. And the only way that the bride gets into that place is if the bride takes the truth of their salvation, applies it to their lives, and then understands the reason why this is so important. The blood of Yeshua has redeemed me so that I can live a redeemed life, so that I can live a sanctified, set apart, holy life unto my King, so that when he returns, he will find me ready, so that I will do the good, the pleasing and perfect will of Yahweh. And you know what's important is this, Leah, and I've said this before. If we are always living in that place of the first covenant, we are going to have a problem with who we are. And we're always going to feel like we are defeated. We're always going to feel like we're not able to overcome. There are going to be times as you move forward in your walk with the Father that you're also going to feel defeated. But the difference is you'll fall down and you'll get back up and you'll be able to move forward. When we live in the fullness of the presence of Yahweh and the fullness of who he is, we have this understanding that He's our source. That it's not just, you know, the things that we do or the things that we say or how loud we pray or how much we read the Word. All those things are important, but when we make those things greater than the fullness of Yahweh's presence and the love that He has for us, then we're always living a religious life instead of living a redeemed life. And He wants you to live a redeemed life. So He wants you to be able to say to someone, you know what, yes, I am saved. But the truth of the matter is, like I said, what are you saved from? We are saved from that realm of death, or we are saved from the law of sin and death. We have been redeemed so that we can live a life on fire for Him. And so many people forget that. So many other people have not been redeemed. So for us, who have been redeemed, we have a greater responsibility now to proclaim the good news of Messiah Yeshua with boldness, because we have this hope inside of us that even if we are ridiculed, even if we die, that we have this hope that one day we will be redeemed, and with that we will be with our King.
You know, it's so important what you're saying, Yosef, as well, because, you know, sometimes with people getting stuck in that first covenant, I believe that this is a lie of the enemy that has been brought into theology, Christian theology, because I hear it as well where people say, oh, I'm in the blood covenant, I'm under the blood, you know, I'm just the blood. So every time there's a spiritual attack or there's something that's happening, they talk about this big blood covenant that they're in, but there's nothing else. And they're struggling to overcome. But if we're fully in that blood covenant, you know, why are we not overcoming? You know, because as we progress and as we should be moving, we'll see that the inheritance covenant is the place of authority and power. And if we live fully in that, in the intimacy, then we will be able to fully overcome and fully embody what that means.
You know, Leah, just before we go to a song, I just want to mention this. As we go on in this story, you know, with the Israelites, there comes a point where they are just about to get to the Red Sea. And then Yahweh says to them that they are to turn back. They have to go back and they have to camp. And they know that if they're going to camp there, that it's probably going to be that, you know, Pharaoh is going to come and he's probably going to destroy them. And it says this in Exodus chapter 14, verse 2. It says, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pilhithroth between Migdol and the sea opposite Baal Zephon, or Zephon. Camp before it by the sea. Now, why this is so important is because, you know, what happens here is that they do exactly what they are told to do, and they go and they camp at this place. And because of their obedience, Yahweh actually delivers them. Mm-hmm. And what's important to see here is that Moses cries out and he says, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh. And now that same word there where salvation is Yeshua, it's the same word. So Yeshua is going to save them. But what's important here right after this is he first tells them to turn back, and then he tells them, listen, stand firm. But then after he tells them to stand firm, he doesn't say stay there. He says, you know what, now I want you to put your faith into action, and I want you to go across this Red Sea. I want you to move forward with me. If they stayed there and they camped there and they never went across that Red Sea, they would have never got to Mount Sinai, they would have never got the Torah, and they would have stayed in one place. So Yahweh is saying to us, continue moving forward. Continue doing what you need to do and continue seeking me. That's so important.
We're going to go to our first song of the evening called This Is a Move by Brandon Lake. And when we get back, we're going to go more into exactly what Yosef has been talking about, the Exodus story, what's happening by the Red Sea. And we're going to get so deep into it. So don't go anywhere. Enjoy the song and we'll see you after this.
Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loose. God, we believe. Yes, we can see that wonders are still for you and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts. We need to move. miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Oh, miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen.
I like that song, Yosef, This Is a Move by Brandon Lake, because I hope that this is going to be a move, that we're going to see a move. Well, you know what? The Israelites saw a move back in Exodus 14. So if you're just joining us for the coffee break, welcome, welcome, welcome. All good. Jody, so good to see you. Doesn't matter how late you are, and we welcome you in. You know what? We are talking about, you know, what's happening here, the Exodus. We've been talking about the salvation and the blood covenant, everything that's been happening. You know, Yosef, there was so much of what you said towards the end as well, just before we went to the song, that's so significant. And I want to touch on Exodus 14 and specifically verse 10. And in Exodus 14, we know that the people have been brought out. There was that instruction, like you read to us, to camp here, to camp there. Don't go there. You know, Philistines are there. They're going to see war. They're going to get scared. So Yahweh is moving them around. That probably seemed quite haphazard, you know, going there, fetching, you know, Joseph's bones along the way at Sukkot, and just going here and not going to the Philistines. And so it must have seemed quite haphazard, but Yahweh is moving these people really, really quickly, and there's a reason for that. And in Exodus 14 verse 10, now we know that Pharaoh is completely approaching the people, and you know, however many million of people we can only guess that there were, they're standing by the Red Sea and Pharaoh is pursuing them. Now, I think that hindsight, as we always say, is 20/20. So looking back at this, we go, wow, these people had little faith. But honestly, when we are challenged like this, what does our faith look like? I don't think it looks that much better. So you know what it says? As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to Yahweh and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave? Didn't we tell you this would happen? We told you to leave us alone. Let us be slaves. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness."
Wow. But
that's what they said. But Moses told the people, "Do not be afraid. Just stand still and watch Yahweh rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Yahweh himself will fight for you. Just stay calm."
Amen.
Now, this verse is a very, very well quoted verse, and we like this verse. I personally love this verse. But you know what? It goes a little bit further, because in verse 15, Yahweh says to Moses right after this, he says, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to move forward." And therein lies this huge thing, because right at the beginning of this deliverance, Israel is exited out of Egypt, taken out of Egypt. They had seen all those plagues. Now they're taken out. They're going around. This is a huge grow up process, because oftentimes in our faith, this is something we are not taught, is that we often have been taught that whatever we face in our life, just cry out to Yeshua. He's going to come in. He's going to rescue you. You know, pluck you out of that situation and you're going to be good, you know. But maturity and the process that Yahweh wants us to be in is not that way at all, because the process Yahweh wants us to be in is that, you know what he was going to say to the Israelites, he never really told them this, but he was going to be with them through the Red Sea. He was going to part the Red Sea. He didn't tell them that's what he was going to do. He said to them, you move forward. You move forward. And this is a crucial point of our faith journey and our faith walk, is that often we pray and we expect Yahweh to do everything. He's at work. He's going to be at work in the Red Sea. He's going to not only part it, think about it. You know, parting the Red Sea is one thing, but it says that they walked through on dry ground. I mean, this is the bottom of the ocean. How can it be dry ground? Because Abba Father is walking with them step by step. And not only will he see them through the Red Sea, he's going to close it up and he's going to destroy Pharaoh and the armies that he has, 600 men. You know what? It's so crucial that we look at this and we go, well, this is what applies to my life. I may not have all the answers and I definitely don't have all the understanding. But if the Father is saying, why are you crying out to me? Just keep on moving in faith. Then that is what we have to do. Someone once said to me, it was actually a Christian counselor that I went to see a few years ago. And I was discussing something that was happening in my life at that time. And she said to me, Aaliyah, faith is the journey. Faith is the journey. And our journey, sometimes we want a lot of the answers and maybe we don't want to step forward into something because we've also been taught, you know, seek out confirmation like 27,000 times before you do something. But often Abba Father, imagine them sitting there going like, please confirm to us now if we need to cross the Red Sea at this particular moment. I'm not saying confirmation isn't good. We need confirmation. But often we have to keep moving and step out in faith. We have to exercise faith and get moving because that's what Yahweh says. Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people, hey, get moving. And I like the way it says it. I'm reading from the NLT, New Living Translation tonight. Get moving. And I love that. And often, you know what, like I said, we expect Yahweh to do all of it, but he wants us to learn to think for ourselves, to take responsibility for what it means to not be a spiritual baby anymore, needing other people to tell us what to do. They were looking at Moses. Moses didn't even know what Yahweh was going to do. He just said, hey guys, you know what? It's going to be okay. Abba Father's going to fight for you. Just be still. He said, be still. And Yahweh said, well, get moving. So sometimes we're looking at, oh, the person of God to tell us what to do, or the this person, or the that thing. But Yahweh is saying, just get moving. And you know what? In verse 18, it says that when my glory is displayed through Egypt, all of Egypt will see my glory and know that I am Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Even though it seemed chaotic, what Abba Father was planning was really, really going to be something that would glorify him. And I think that that is something that speaks to us in our present season. It seems like in this world and in this earth right now, there's a lot of chaotic realities that are facing people. And I truly believe that we need to stick with Abba Father. We need to keep moving in our faith, keep pushing into our purpose, keep living a life of, like you described it earlier on, being on fire for him. You know what? Growing up in him, and he will be glorified through everything that's going to take place. And we get focused sometimes on the things that are negative that are happening in the world. But if we just keep on with him, it will be okay. And you know what's interesting, Yosef? When Israel gets through the Red Sea, it's so easy, isn't it, when we've experienced a miracle. Say we experience a miracle today. It's easy to do Exodus 15, which is the song of deliverance, which they sang. Oh, Yahweh is so great and he's so awesome and he delivered us and he's going to reign for eternity and he's going to be all of this. It's so easy. But right there, they've sung the song. They walk a little bit further. And then it says, Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea and they moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in the desert for 3 days and they didn't find any water. The people complained and said again to Moses, what are we going to drink? They demanded. So Moses cried out to Yahweh for help. It was there that Yahweh set before them a following decree to test them to see if they would be faithful. There's a huge growing up process that's happening as Israel is coming out of the world, you know, out of Egypt into the wilderness. They've had to sort themselves out by the Red Sea. They now have no water to drink. Yahweh, think about it, could have provided them every single thing that they needed in this reality. He could have made sure the water was there by the time they got there, but he didn't, because he was trying to tell them, time to grow up, time to grow up, time to grow up. You've been 430 years of slaves. I've delivered you. It's time to grow up. and there's a purpose for that. So there they get tested with the water. Straight afterwards, they have nothing to eat, and they get tested with the manna and the quail, and then they cry out and they complain, yeah, we get so angry with them, and then they get this manna and the quail, and then there's like no water again, and then Moses got to do this thing with the rock. It's like there's these tests that are coming consistently all the time. And they keep on failing the test because they keep on complaining. I'm not even going to read all the complaints to you. They just have like a list they want to send to some manager somewhere and say, this is my complaints when I walk into your store. This is what I don't like. Please sort this out. They just cannot stop complaining, you know. But then there's really a beautiful thing. So we have Red Sea, the bitter water, which Yahweh has to provide for them, lack of food, and Yahweh gives them manna and quail. Again, no water. Then Moses, you know, has to do the thing with the rock. And then it is quite freaky because in Exodus 17, the people are going to battle against Amalek, who was this massive, massive, they're called giants, and they were very scary. And Yahweh didn't like them. He says he's going to blot out their name for all generations. Think about it. These people have come out of slavery and suddenly they're having to become a battle ram that they have to fight against with this crazy giant army. It's quite a lot that Yahweh actually expects of them. And I think that it really mirrors our journeys. We can't believe that Yahweh expects a little of us. Yahweh expects a lot of us sometimes because he believes so much in us. He believed in Israel. And when they're standing by the Red Sea, he's the one that has to tell them to, hey, get up and get moving. He has to tell them to put their faith in action. He has to tell them what to do. But when they get to this war with Amalek, it's incredible because in Exodus 17, it actually says in verse 8, while the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua and said, choose men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses commanded, and he fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. What is happening here, Yosef? You know, just a few chapters before, they have to be told what to do. Can you see what our tests do to us? What refinement actually does to us? They did not have to be told what to do with Amalek. Moses told everybody exactly what to do. The battle was still Yahweh's. The victory was still given by God. As long as Moses held up his hands, as we know the story, then Israel had the victory. It was still divine. It was still holy, but yet it was definitely very practical. That is what maturation has to do with us, spiritual maturing, the good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of Yahweh. The good will of Yahweh is us standing by the sea going, what are we supposed to do? Him telling us, get moving, and us being obedient to what he says. The pleasing will of Yahweh is for us to take action, faithful, when things happen in our lives, to keep moving, to put the structures in place, to have a game plan of prayer, of intimacy with him, of seeking him, whatever that game plan has to look like. And it's about us moving forward in faith. You know, I remember back in 2014, which would seem quite a long time ago in my mind, but I remember going through a 2-year period of sickness, 2013 and 2014, and consistently crying out to the Father for healing. He says in his word over and over again, I'm your healer, I'm going to heal you, you know, and always praying and asking Yahweh, please, will you heal me? At that time, it didn't help that a lot of believers were condemning me for being ill, which is something, you know, believers love to do with one another and say, oh, well, God healed me. Why isn't he not doing it for you? You know, obviously that's a narrative we should never use one to another, but we experience these things sometimes. And Yeshua showed me very clearly a training ring, like a ring, you know, like they had in the very, very old days. And it's this ring where, you know, you would stand in the ring when you were training to be a soldier back in the day in the ancient world, and you would have your sword wooden, or if you were a Philistine, you would have a nice metal sword. But if you were Israelite, you would have your little wooden sword and you would be training with your master. The person that was training you would be the one that you were kind of battling against, and he would tell you exactly everything that you needed to know. But I remember that stage of my life really having the Father say to me, Yeshua specifically saying to me, you are standing face to face with your enemy. My enemy at that stage was not illness, it was fear and, you know, real anxiety, and which happens when you're sick, and pain and just intense fear. And Yeshua said to me, you're standing face to face with an enemy. The enemy is fear, and the enemy has asked to attack you during this time, not with illness, but with other things. And I saw Yeshua standing next to me, and he said, I want you to go to war against your enemy. I have taught you everything that you need to win. I'm right here and I'm right beside you, but I want you to do the battle. I want you to swing the sword. Yeshua is not going to just all the time come in and swing the sword and kill our enemy for us. He's with us and he's within us, but he teaches us every single thing we need in order for us to be victorious. It's exactly like Peter. He just needed to believe in who he was in Yeshua. That was why he sank in the water, because he couldn't believe in who he was. He said, Yeshua, if you want to, you know, you can call me out into the water. And it wasn't a misbelief or disbelief that Yeshua was Messiah. It was a disbelief that Peter could really walk on water with the one who was the Messiah. And we have to begin to believe that we are maturing through our tests. But because we're going to get to that point where when time comes, or when, you know, we're facing bad situations, work situations, purpose situations, money situations, whatever it may be, that Yahweh has given us everything that we need in order to move forward. We keep going, we keep moving forward, and we continue to mature. And the purpose of their maturing, Yosef, was found in Exodus 19:5-6. This was the entire purpose of what Yahweh was doing with them. The reason why he wanted them to go through all of those tests and to be a people who matured was found in Exodus 19, which is this. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on earth, for all the earth belongs to me. And you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message that you will give to the children of Israel.
Amen. You know, Leah, we started this evening with that passage of scripture about the good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of Yahweh. And I really feel tonight that this message is important because it's speaking to us to be that people that reflects our King. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that is by continually moving forward. I feel like it's almost important that we hear this kind of message often in our walk with the Father, because so often we tend to stand still, or we tend to not always know in what direction we are traveling. And the reason why I really do believe that Yeshua is speaking to us is because he wants to have a bride that is ready. He wants to have a bride that is preparing herself for him. And as the time gets closer and closer to Yeshua's return, we have to ask ourselves, am I moving forward? Am I becoming that kingdom of priests, people? Am I becoming the holy generation that Yahweh is looking for? A person set after his own pleasure, someone that reflects him in all that I do. That's what it means to walk in the good, the pleasing, and the perfect will. And I think that it's important that we state this as well this evening. And we've said it often. It's not a matter of only one or only the other. It's a matter of all three working together interdependently. We have to understand that our salvation leads us to wanting to know more about who Yeshua is. And that's what it means. The good will leads you to the pleasing will, which leads you to the perfect will. And all of these work together to cause you to be transformed into the image of Yeshua, so that at the end you look and you are his bride. That's what it's about. So this evening, I want to ask you this question. You know, what has caused you, or what is causing you, to not become that person that moves forward? You know, I know of many things: fear, doubt, anxiety. We've spoken about all these things. Maybe even just the perils of life, the things that are going on right now in your life. And maybe you like Aaliyah said, you're waiting and you're crying out to Yahweh, and he's actually saying to you, you know what, I've given you all things that you need for life and godliness. You know, in this life that we are in, the one thing I think that we struggle to understand is that in this entire journey that Israel was in, the only thing that was helping them to make it through was Yahweh's presence. Not anything else. And that is why throughout their journey, they learn that it is Yahweh's presence that is their deliverer. It is Yahweh's presence that basically destroys the enemies around them. And that's why they had to build the Ark of the Testament. That's why they had to have His presence with them wherever they went, because it was Yahweh's presence that helped them to understand. That's why He tells them, I want you to be a holy people. Because it is when they are holy and walking in the fullness of that understanding that He's able to dwell among them. And when He dwells among them, there is no fear, there is no doubt, there is no enemy coming against them. There is only peace and prosperity and goodness and mercy that follows them wherever they go. And that's why this evening I want to say this to you. The battle belongs to Yahweh. The battle belongs to Yahweh. And like Elias said, we have to go sometimes to war. But in the end, the battle belongs to Yahweh. And the only way that Israel overcame their enemies was when they trusted and believed that Yahweh would fight for them. So this evening, I want to say this to you. When we live in holiness and we live committed to Him in the fullness of who Yahweh is, then His presence disarms the forces of darkness. That is why it is so important that we learn to pray and worship and praise Him throughout all of our trials and as we go through those trials. Because when we do that, it's Yahweh's presence, the presence of Yahweh that literally disarms the forces of the enemy.
Amen. You know what, Yosef, this has been such a great conversation that we've had this evening, and it's going to be good to go to a song and then go to a time of prayer tonight as well. So we're going to go to this song. It's called Safe in Your Arms by Josh Baldwin, and we want to pray together when we get back. If you feel led to, you're welcome to put a prayer request down. If you have them, please, we always welcome that. Otherwise, we will just pray as we are led this evening, so don't go anywhere. We will be praying after Josh Baldwin's song.
I come to you with the weight of all my stress. You pick me up and you let me catch my breath. Lord, you never condemn, never make a list of wrongs. In the light of your goodness, all the fear I've known is gone. I'm safe in your arms of love. Safe in your arms of love. All of my heart, my hope, my trust is held. Safe in your arms of love. Safe in your arms of love.
You were there when there was nothing left. Hope where I saw emptiness. Somehow, even in pieces, you restore me with your peace. In the driest of deserts, you're the never-ending stream.
I'm safe in your arms, your arms.
Your arms of love.
is the shadow of your wings, the shadow of your wings. And the only shelter I need is the shadow of your wings, the shadow of your wings. You're the only shadow I see, is the shadow of your wings, the shadow of your wings. You're the only shelter I need, is the shadow of your wings, the shadow.
Father, we want to thank you this evening in the name of Yeshua that we are truly safe in your arms. But Father, this evening I want to pray that as we go out this week, Father, that we will really truly hear your voice, that we will not only hear your voice, Father, but that it will cause us, Abba Father, to move forward, to continue moving forward to that goal, Father, of being your bride. And Father, I pray that as you minister to our hearts and as we minister in return to you, Father, that we will be changed, renewed, and refreshed. I also pray, Father, that anything that holds us back, anything that we struggle with, anything, Father, that we still have not truly let go of, I pray, Father, that this week will be a week where we do exactly that through the power of your Spirit. And Father, I also pray that we will learn, Father, because I feel like we all struggle with that, Father, to allow you to fight the battle for us, but also to know, Father, that you have given us all things that we need for life and godliness, all things that we need to be the people that you want us to be. Help us, Father, to understand our identity in you on a daily basis. Father, help us to know that we are redeemed, that we can and should, Father, strive to be sons and daughters of inheritance, sons and daughters of your kingdom, people who live the life, Father, that you desire for us, that are not defeated, Father, but are true overcomers, as the book of Revelation says. So, Father, this evening I want to pray for every single person that has joined us, and Father, those that will listen later to the recording. I also pray, Father, wherever they find themselves in their walk with you at this present moment, Father, that you will strengthen them, that you will guide them, that you will lead them, and Father, that you will minister to their hearts. I also pray, Father, in this time as the world continues to spiral out of control, I pray, Father, that you will continue to help us to see clearly, Father, to understand the times and the seasons that we're in, and Father, to be people, Father, of your presence, people who strive to be holy, people who strive, Father, in everything that they do, to set you first in everything, and we thank you for that. So, Father, I thank you for this time, and I pray your blessing over each and every person. In Yeshua Mashiach's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on the coffee break. It's been wonderful to share this time with you. It went by so quickly, and now it's gone. But we pray that you will have a wonderful, wonderful Shavuot Tov, and we will see you next week. So from us, shalom, shalom, and we will see you soon.
Shalom.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow, and I stand face to face with the enemy, I will know that I am not forsaken. You surround me when the fire's at my feet. You're my defender. You fight for me. I will I can see you when the night is closing in. And I will trust you when it seems that there's no hope. Oh, and I hold tight to the promise you have given. 'Cause this I know.
Saved by the blood of Jesus.